All right, hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. We recently just did our AFC team needs episode, so now we are going to focus on the NFC side of things. We have a group of great analysts that were so kind to join us throughout the last 2 weeks, and we finally have this episode together. We go through every team's one need on the offensive and the defensive side. We'll kind of have a halftime again where I talk about cap room that's available in the NFC, and then we will close it out. Hopefully this is a pretty short episode, 30 to 45 minutes. You can learn all you need about what teams need, maybe what your team needs, and then go check out our last episode, the free agency preview, where we talk about some of the available free agents, and then hopefully later next week we will get into matching maybe where some of the free agents land in an episode. That's about it. Hope you guys enjoy the show. Here we go. All right, now let's talk a little bit about the NFC East and team needs from that division. Joining me now is Matt Vladianos. How you doing, Matt?
I'm good, dude. How you been?
I've been good. So let's start with your Washington Redskins. One offensive need and one defensive need. What are you looking for them to add this offseason?
For offense, I mean, I think the most obvious thing is to just retain the offensive line talent they already have. And that means getting Trent Williams back into the building, getting Brandon Scherff back into the building, getting Eric Flowers back in the building. In a worst-case scenario, if all three of those guys leave, then the Redskins are looking at probably the worst offensive line in the entire NFL. There have been positive signs that the thought process now is that all three will be returning and will be playing this upcoming year, and that's huge. And if they can do that, that's an automatic win for the offensive side of the ball, because it's really all they need. They have talent everywhere. It's just A, getting the talent on the field, and B, letting the talent develop. Very, very young receiving core, young quarterback in Dwayne Haskins, young running back in Bryce Love and Darius Geis. So that'll be important. I think outside of them, I would say bringing in maybe a veteran receiver, preferably a guy with a little bit of size, a guy who can be a possession receiver. If an Alshon Jeffrey gets cut, if an A.J. Green chooses not to resign or doesn't get tagged, someone like that, who you can kind of bring in, keep them here for a year or two so that they're not necessarily completely stunting the growth of the rest of the young receiving corps, but can provide a veteran leadership and some production as well.
Awesome. Let's talk about the Cowboys a bit.
Mm-hmm. For offense?
For both.
Okay.
But you decide where you want to take it.
So for the Cowboys, I think just kind of similar to the Redskins is on offense, is just being able to retain your talent, making sure that you keep Dak Prescott. Amari Cooper, I'm not so – if it came down to one or the other, 100 out of 100 times I'm taking Dak Prescott. I think Michael Gallup's a great receiver and can kind of fill in as a wide receiver one if he has to. But I think on offense too, they should be looking to be a player in a guy like Austin Hooper, because their tight end position is really, really rough. I don't expect Jason Witten to be back with the team next year. It looks like the new staff doesn't really want him on the team next year. So there, or they could be a guy in like Vance McDonald looking to shore up that tight end position. And then on defense, probably it's going to have to be looking for a new cornerback with Byron Jones leaving. It doesn't look like he's going to stay. They could look to address the defensive line, but I expect that to be more draft-oriented, bring in some younger guys. So I would say probably in the secondary is where the Cowboys will look on their defensive end.
Awesome. The Philadelphia Eagles.
For the Eagles, it's two real easy ones, wide receiver and cornerback. Those are the two biggest needs on their team both ways. They're going to lose Nelson Aguilar this year, although that's not much of a loss if you watch the play. Alshon Jeffrey is a pretty big candidate to get cut, so I expect them to be interested in somebody moving forward, one of the bigger names at receiver, maybe an Amari Cooper if he's on the open market. That's something I could definitely see Philadelphia doing. And then cornerback, they've got young guys there who have always had talent, but it's never manifested. And after this year, it's really hard to justify trying to go into next year with the same group.
All right. And then finally, the New York Giants.
For the Giants, I think kind of shoring up the right side of their offensive line is going to be huge. They could be a player for a guy like Joe Thuney. But I think overall, they're also going to look to add some receiver talent too. And that's going to be huge. obviously, you've got Daniel Jones. He's going to be the guy there. Evan Ingram and Saquon are all kind of entrenched. So on the offensive side, they're definitely going to look at bringing in a veteran receiver that they can put opposite of a Darius Slayton, who was actually very good last year, and Sterling Shepard running the slot.
Right.
And then on defense, they've also got a couple of needs. I think a solid, strong safety who can play close to the line will be helpful. But then also just edge rushers. They desperately need edge rushers. They desperately need linebacker help. And that's kind of going to be, I think, should be the focus of that team, because without adding any edge rush talent or any linebacker talent, they're really going to struggle to make plays on the defensive end.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know me, I'm not a huge draft guy, but one guy that I have zeroed in on, and I've decided to pick like two draft prospects this year to keep an eye on, and my defensive guy, and I think a guy who will be available. Where are they picking again? Four?
They pick fourth overall, yes.
They got to take Isaiah Simmons there. Mm-hmm. Like, he'd be like a perfect fit there.
I agree.
Linebacker, safety, kind of hard-hitting guy that could come in and shore up that defense. I'd love to see Isaiah Simmons in a Giants.
And I also think Isaiah Simmons would be a perfect fit for the Lions, too, and what they need, because they desperately need some linebacker help and some coverage safety help. The issue is, Isaiah Simmons isn't the kind of player that either of those two teams draft. Like, David Gettleman is not a guy that you would expect likes Isaiah Simmons. The versatility, the very new age football, Dave Gettleman's a very old school type of GM. He wants to run the football. He wants to stop the run. He looks for bigger, thicker linebackers to make plays. And then the same thing goes for Bob Quinn in Detroit. So that's my only concern. I do think that that would 100% be the best pick, because I have Isaiah Simmons as my number three ranked prospect. But I don't know that I can trust either of those GMs to make that selection.
Right. All right, Matt. Well, that was great on the NFC East. Where can people find you on Twitter?
Make sure you're following me on Twitter at MV Scouting, and then also check out my work at Pro Football Network.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks, Matt. All right, let's take a look at the NFC North. Joining me now is Walker Kelly. How are you doing, Walker?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you, Eric?
I'm doing well. So let's just jump right into this and start with your team, Detroit Lions. What are their biggest needs this offseason?
On the offensive side of the ball, number one need would probably be a receiver, both for the now and for the future. Obviously, very likely we'd get an extension done with Kenny Golladay. But besides that, we don't really have much depth for the future. Danny Amendola is obviously a free agent, and Marvin Jones' contract only goes through next season. So we could use a younger option to develop to eventually become the wide receiver two to Galladay's wide receiver one. On the offensive side, we could also we could use an interior lineman, especially if we don't re-sign Graham Glasgow, which I think we should. We might want to take a look at maybe a developmental offensive tackle late in the draft. Rick Wagner starting to get up there, and Terrell Crosby's been okay, but he projects more as like a swing tackle slash all over the line backup more than a starter. And then other than that, you know, maybe some running back depth. You know, Kerryon Johnson, while talented, has had some trouble staying healthy, and past that, we have a lot of largely unproven players, you know, Bo Scarborough, Ty Johnson, JD McKissick's a decent receiving option, but again, he's a free agent as well. So on the offensive side of the ball, that'll pretty much do it. I would probably rank it wide receiver, interior offensive line, running back, offensive tackle. Then on the defensive side of the ball, a little bit more dire. We could use reinforcements basically all over. The interior, the D-line was supposed to be a strength going into this season, but we had a lot of injuries. Some guys didn't perform up to the standard that we had hoped. You know, age and injuries had a big effect. You know, Damon Harrison was hurt at the start of the season, didn't play nearly as well as he did the year before, and he's considering retirement. A'shaun Robinson and Mike Daniels are both free agents. Deshaun Hand was injured this season, but he's a good building block for the future. Obviously, the Trey Flowers signing worked out pretty well. He especially as the season went on and he played his way into shape after missing training camp in the preseason with injury. He got better, played very well at the end of the season. Romeo Okwara is a decent rotational piece. But other than that, I mean, you're looking at late round draft picks and UDFAs filling out your depth positions. So, you know, we could use some reinforcements there. We could use some reinforcements in the secondary. We've got a good start there. I mean, Darius Slay, obviously an elite player. Tracy Walker III has looked good in his couple seasons. He's progressing nicely. Amani Oruwariye played well once he got into the lineup. Dustin Coleman, for the most part, a pretty solid nickel. He has his bad games here and there, but overall a pretty good player. But other than that, I mean, Tavon Wilson's a free agent. Don't know if he'll be back. Will Harris had a pretty rocky rookie season. You know, he's young and athletic, but we got to see how he develops. Other than that, it's a lot of inexperience. So we could definitely use, especially what is important in this day and age as secondary is, we could use some reinforcements there as well.
All right. So let's move on to a different team now, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the Chicago Bears.
Okay. Number one need, I mean, unfortunately for them, it's got to be quarterback. They've got some talent on the offensive side of the ball. Allen Robinson's a great player. For the most part, the offensive line is at least decent. You know, Charles Leno, Cody Whitehair, James Daniels, all decent players. Anthony Miller is a good young wideout. Tariq Cohen has his role in the offense, you know, talented player there. I'm not so sure about David Montgomery yet. He didn't look particularly impressive. But without the threat of a pass, you know, being necessarily very potent for the Bears offense, it's tough to gauge how good or bad he really is. But overall, I mean, sure, they could use a tight end, but for the most part, I mean, if they were to be able to somehow figure out a way to improve the quarterback position, they'd be looking pretty good going into next season.
Awesome. The Green Bay Packers.
The Packers, I would say their biggest needs are probably at receiver and linebacker. Devontae Adams is really the only reliable guy they've got. And obviously, Aaron Rodgers isn't quite what he used to be, but he's still a talented player. He can still get it done when he's got guys around him. And I think that it's important for them to get somebody else besides Adams who can take the pressure off of that offense a little bit. And then at linebacker, they were already thin in terms of depth, plus Blake Martinez is an impending free agent. Don't know if they'll re-sign him, so... I think a big part of their offseason is going to be reshaping that linebacker room.
Absolutely. The Vikings don't have a ton of cap space, but what do you see their needs being this offseason?
The Vikings are a pretty solid roster at this point. They could use a number three receiver, but obviously, again, not much cap to bring one in a free agency. So that's probably going to have to be in the draft that they consider that. They could still use a guard. Pat Elflein looks increasingly like a bust. And they could also use a tackle. Brian O'Neill's good on the right side, but Riley Reiff is subpar on left. Then in terms of defense, really it's just looking at the secondary. I mean, their front seven's very good, but the secondary, there's a lot of free agents coming up, and the guys that they have under contract are starting to, you know, their performance is waning. I mean, Xavier Rhodes fell off a cliff this past year, and Harrison Smith really was overtaken by Anthony Harris this season in terms of the leader of the back end of that secondary. So they're going to have to – they really need to re-sign Harris, and unfortunately they're going to have to lose some guys to figure out how to bring him back.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Walker. That was obviously really enlightening about the whole NFC North. Where can people find you on Twitter? I know you're working on draft stuff right now. Where can people find some of your stuff?
Yeah, Twitter handle is at WalkerKelly13. I post mostly, you know, NFL draft, fantasy football, college basketball takes, that sort of thing. My college basketball stuff is just I post on my Twitter account, and then my draft stuff, you can go to NFLDraftLounge.com and also overtimeheroics.com. I write for both of those sites for the NFL draft.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you very much, Walker. Moving on to our next division. All right. Let's talk quickly about cap space available in starting with the team, of course, with the most cap space, which is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers have a ton of cap space this year, the third most in the entire league with $84 million in cap. They have two big-name free agents that they need to sign if they want to retain them in Jameis Winston and Shaq Barrett. So you could realistically see them keeping both of those guys and still having room to go out and sign another big-name free agent. If they let Jameis Winston go, they do have a lot of money to throw at a quarterback, like say maybe a Phillip Rivers of sorts. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers definitely do have a lot of money to spend. Followed behind them, the Dallas Cowboys. They have to make the decision between sticking between Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper. They have enough money to keep both. I would be surprised if Amari Cooper left, but I think it would be more likely that Amari Cooper left over Dak Prescott. And I think if a team were to offer enough money to Cooper in free agency and the Cowboys don't use a transition tag on him, that it's more likely than not that Cooper will return. But he could be lured away if the offer was good enough. He is not a sure thing to return, whereas I think Dak is definitely a sure thing to return for them. Followed by the New York Giants in the same division. They have a lot of work to do, of course, on defense. $61 million. They should go after an edge player. There are plenty of them available in this free agent class. The Giants just have a ton of cap room, and they should make some moves. $61 million. The Washington Redskins, $54 million. That's enough to keep their offensive line talent intact, which is obviously a huge thing for helping develop your young quarterback. A team that needs offensive line talent is the Arizona Cardinals, who round out the top five as far as available cap space in the NFC with $51 million. They have got some room to work with here, and I think they will be a team that goes out and makes some moves. Now, there are teams in the NFC with some real cap problems. For example, the Chicago Bears, only $13 million in cap space. That's not a lot of money to go add pieces with, and they're going to be a little bit tightly strung for the next few years just because of that Khalil Mack deal and how massive that is. The New Orleans Saints have real problems, only $12 million, and they have to pay Drew Brees, presumably a rather large one-year contract. So I think that the Saints should try to get a multi-year deal done because maybe they can backload it a little bit, but they do not have a ton of cap space readily available. The Atlanta Falcons, only $4 million available. That's obviously a problem for them. They have more injury issues than roster issues, but it would not hurt to add some pieces to that defense, which was abysmal throughout last year. I think they definitely need to look at reloading the defensive side of the ball, and they just don't have a ton of capital in free agency to do that. So they're going to have to look towards the draft and have a good draft, because I just don't know how they're going to bring in any big-name free agents. They don't have the money. And the Minnesota Vikings, $736,000. They are the first team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC. We talked about this in the AFC. Are below the cap right now and are really hamstrung. The Minnesota Vikings are, they really can't make any moves outside of maybe a practice squad player or a third stringer. And I think this lends credence to this idea that Stephon Diggs might be on the trade block. He does make a lot of money for them, and it would free up some cap space if they ended up moving him. So that is definitely something to watch for. That is the cap breakdown for the NFC. Hope you guys enjoyed that. the divisional free agency needs. Joining me now is Jared Feinberg, and we are going to discuss the NFC South and some of the team needs they have. So, Jared, let's start with your Carolina Panthers.
So, one of the main needs for the Carolina Panthers, and I'm going to start out defensively, is the interior defensive line. Carolina was gashed last year, like historically bad against the run. They lost K-1 short to injury last year. Don Terry Poe, Jared McCoy was basically their main guy up front. And Vernon Butler, he was okay, but he didn't really do much defensively, in my opinion. And so with both McCoy and Butler as free agents, and Poe being a possible cap casualty, that leaves a big hole next to K-1 Short, who is, of course, going to be healthy by the time the season starts next season. A couple prospects that come to mind for the Panthers at that position are Derek Brown from Auburn and Javon Kinlaw from South Carolina. Both of them are terrific prospects. Both of them I am a big fan of. Derek Brown is probably the safest pick if the Carolina Panthers were to go that way at 7. And, you know, Brown, he possesses elite explosiveness, size, power, quickness. He's the highest graded defensive tackle I've ever given a defensive tackle since I started scouting a few years ago. So, interior defensive line is a big need for the Panthers. Moving on to the offensive side of the ball for Carolina, you can say quarterback is probably going to be their biggest need if Cam Newton were to move on from the team. But the biggest need, in my opinion, is probably the left side of the offensive line. I don't know if the Panthers will trust the development of Greg Little or Dennis Daly, and basically they're going to have a hole at left guard because Greg Van Roten and Darrell Williams will be free agents. A couple of prospects that come to mind, like Jedrick Wills from Alabama, Tristan Wirfs from Iowa, Andrew Thomas from Georgia, all three of them would fit perfectly in the Panthers' offense at left tackle if the Panthers do decide to move on from Greg Little in terms of, we're going to develop him, but we're not going to start him this year. We're not going to have him in our plans for the future at left tackle. So that's my those are the needs offensively and defensively, the main ones for Carolina at the moment.
All right. Let's talk about the Atlanta Falcons.
The Atlanta Falcons, man, this is a tough one. When you look at them overall, they're a talented football team, but they're going to have some holes. I was split when thinking of Atlanta defensively between a cornerback and a pass rusher. And in my opinion, a pass rusher is more valuable than a cornerback when we're talking position value. So at 16, Atlanta has the possibility of getting LSU's Caleb Von Chason or Iowa's A.J. Epenesa. Both of them are terrific pass rushers who will make an immediate impact at the next level. Both of them, in my opinion, have Pro Bowl potential. Offensively for Atlanta, do you go with the interior offensive line or do you go with a running back as one of your top needs offensively? Devontae Freeman is probably going to be on the market. It sounds like Atlanta is probably going to move on from him and his massive contract. So I would say running back is going to be a big need for Atlanta, and second round is going to be perfect for Atlanta to get a running back. When you're considering prospects, you think of LSU's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, J.K. Dobbins, if he falls that far from Ohio State. Who else? You got Cam Akers from Florida State. There's a lot of talented running backs that could be available for Atlanta in the second or third round. So those are my needs overall for the Atlanta Falcons.
Let's talk about the New Orleans Saints.
The Saints, oh, man, Offensively, I definitely think they need someone opposite of Michael Thomas. You know, Michael Thomas had one of the greatest seasons ever for a wide receiver. But when you look at the production besides him, it's some of the worst production I've seen at receiver in the entire league. You need a solid number two wide receiver next to Michael Thomas. You can, in the draft, you can go with LaVisca Chenault from Colorado, talented wide receiver who can hit the home run at any moment, at any time. Jalen Reagor from TCU, same way. I actually think he's a lot similar to Henry Ruggs from Alabama, who I think is probably going to be taken later in the draft. So one of those two prospects for New Orleans, LaVisca Chenault and Jalen Reagor, those are my two favorites for New Orleans at wide receiver in the draft. Defensively, gosh, never had a chance to think about this for New Orleans. I'd say linebacker. I think they need – I know they have some solid guys up front. They have DeMario Davis. But the other linebackers I'm not real sure about. The only guy I like, of course, is DeMario Davis there. But I think for New Orleans at linebacker, in terms of the draft, they could go either Patrick Queen from LSU or Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma, because it would be a miracle if Isaiah Simmons was somehow available for the Saints late in the first round. It'd be a complete shock to everyone. So I think the safest bet would be New Orleans, or for New Orleans at linebacker, Patrick Queen and Kenneth Murray.
Yeah, those would – I think those guys – I've heard a lot of good things about them on draft Twitter as well. So that's a solid pick there. And why don't we wrap up the division with – oh, the Bucks. The Bucks.
The Bucks. Oh, the Bucks, man. They're a talented football team. I'm not going to lie. But they do have quite a few holes on both sides of the ball. First off, on defense, I'm going to start with the pass rush at edge. Shaquille Barrett's going to be a free agent. No one knows if he's going to be back in Tampa Bay. If he doesn't, that's going to be a huge hole defensively for Tampa Bay. And a couple other guys that I would consider for Tampa Bay were the same guys I mentioned for Atlanta, Kayla Von Chason and A.J. Epenesa. I'm not sure if A.J. Epenesa would necessarily fit for Tampa Bay defensively since they run a 3-4 scheme. But if they do draft Epenesa, he would be a perfect 5 technique for Tampa Bay. He could play 3-4 defensive 3-4 defensive end if they need to. The perfect guy for edge in Tampa Bay would be Kayla Von Chason. Incredible athleticism, flexibility, versatility. He has everything you want for a Todd Bowles pass rusher. Offensively, do you go offensive tackle or do you go quarterback? Because by the time Burrow is probably going to go number one, Tua is probably going to go to Miami at 5. Herbert's either going to go to LA or Carolina at 6 or 7. And then Jordan Love might end up being in Indianapolis, or someone's going to trade up for him in the top 10. So you're going to be stuck there. Can't find a good QB in the at 14. So you might as well go offensive tackle. I think that's probably the biggest need, in my opinion, especially if they bring back Jameis Winston. There are going to be plenty of offensive tackles to go through at 14. Mackie Becton is from Louisville is someone that comes to mind. A massive offensive tackle, 6'7", 360 plus, can move really well for someone his size, has an incredibly powerful punch at the point of attack. He needs some consistency from a snap-to-snap basis, but I believe he could be a starting left tackle at the next level.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jared. Where can people find some of your work?
They can find some of my work at bluechipscouting.com, and they can find my
thoughts, opinions, takes, hot takes about the Panthers, the NFL draft, and the NFL overall over at J-Rock Draft Scout on Twitter.
All right. Thank you very much, Jared. Moving on to our next division.
All right. Let's talk here about the NFC West. Joining me now is Jonders. And Jonders, let's start with your Seattle Seahawks. On the offensive side and on the defensive side, their two biggest needs. Well, one for each side of the ball, of course.
Well, I think their biggest need defense would be – well, it matters a lot. Their biggest need is Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, we know exactly who it is. Jadeveon Clowney playing at his best is something that made this defense formidable in this last season. So without Jadeveon Clowney, they're going to need to somehow fill that pass rush need, and it's going to be hard to do that. So hopefully they can talk to Jadeveon Clowney into sticking around. On offense, it's super easy. It's offensive line. I think that they have a couple of positions that they could look at, left guard, right tackle. Those are the two biggest needs, I think. So, I mean, I don't know if – I mean, I know it's not super complicated or interesting, but, yeah, left guard, right tackle.
All right. The 49ers.
Yeah, 49ers are interesting because – you know, going so far, you know, that's a pretty complete team. I think they can have some use at linebacker, some outside linebacker help might be useful to them. And on offense, we kind of have seen what they've been able to do with kind of a plug-and-play committee or kind of a random back. But I would love to see what they would do with a big bruising running back, you know.
Yeah, I'd also like to throw out that Emmanuel Sanders will be a free agent, so it might be wise to kind of shore up that wide receiving room a little bit as well. Try to keep Sanders in the building if you want to. The Arizona Cardinals. Okay. I'll actually start with the Cardinals because I do have one for them. Offensively, they need to focus on the line. I get that they did a lot right by getting some fast young wide receivers and Kyler Murray last draft. It's time to kind of build around that. Draft an offensive lineman in that first round. Shore up what was a better offensive line last year than it was the previous year, but still one of the worst in the NFL. So I would say that on offense. Any thoughts on what they need for the defensive side of the ball?
You know, on the defensive side, I think they need to shore up that secondary. Right now, it's kind of Patrick Peterson and a bunch of nobodies. Buda Baker had his moments last year, but I think they need to get that secondary to where it used to be in the Honey Badger Patrick Peterson days.
Right. And finally, the Rams. Where do you see them needing to make moves offensively?
You know, they had a real fall from grace last year, and outside of Andrew Whitworth, this offensive line is kind of in shambles. I don't know what to do about their running back situation, but I think if they kind of find a couple of players, maybe left guard, right guard kind of thing would really help their run game.
All right. And with that, thank you very much. Jonders, where can we find you and your work?
At JondersFPT on Twitter, baby.
All right. We will finish it out on the other side. All right, so that wraps up our NFC team needs preview. A big thanks to everyone who joined us. Walker Kelly previewing the NFC North. The Jonders previewing the NFC West. Walker Kelly, Jared Feinberg previewing the NFC South. And Matt Vladianos previewing the NFC East. A big thanks to all those guys. It was a ton of fun. Check out our free agency show, which we just put out earlier this week. It was a ton of fun to do, and hopefully you enjoy that. We will be back next week with hopefully a combine preview and maybe a little bit of free agent matching, but probably just the combine preview next week, talking about some of the players to watch going into the combine and starting to preview what players you need to have kind of in your headspace as far as drafting goes for the NFL as we approach draft season. Free agency, only about 3 weeks away now. It'll be here, maybe two actually. It'll be here as soon as you know it. We'll have, of course, our day one free agency show, hopefully, put together. I may be
out of town, which is a little bit weird, so it might be kind of a poor Eric mic quality episode from the road, but we will definitely get something out day one of free agency. And yeah, that'll be it. That's kind of our schedule for the next few weeks, is the combine preview, then we'll get into free agency a bit more, our free agency's day one and two recaps, and then probably a day four recap once a bunch of the other depth signings have been done. So a ton of stuff to look forward to here in the next few weeks. Thank you for joining us very much. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. Follow me on Twitter at Eric A. Tinyatov. Thank you very much, guys. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.